Last Sunday afternoon, after we got through with our obligations here at church, Pastor Diana and I drove to Camp Lucon in Litchfield, Kentucky. Y'all know where Litchfield is? South of Louisville. I'm not exactly sure whether it's west or east, but I know it's south. But we went down there for our annual pastor's retreat. And we spend 3 days mapping out worship and programs and curriculum and brainstorming possibilities that we will bring back to discuss with the elders and leaders, church leaders, and you about what we're going to be doing for the next 16 to 18 months. It is a rich time as Pastor Diana and I pray and consider what God has in store for the ministry and mission of Florence Christian Church. And, of course, that process begins well before we start the retreat. We plan for the planning, right? We fill the car up not only with our suitcases, with our clothes and toiletries, but books with our boxes with books and resources of all kinds, great food and drink. And, of course, we never leave without the Christ candle, which reminds us of Christ and God's presence with us during the whole time that we are together. We usually work from morning until late afternoon, take a walk, prepare and eat dinner, and then we take the evening to relax. The wonderful cabin that we rent is, especially for pastors, it's absolutely gorgeous and has all the amenities that one would need in order to have an effective retreat or just have a simple getaway with one's family. Fully stocked kitchen, 2 bedrooms, a bathroom, washer, dryer, Wi-Fi, as well as a big screen TV that has Netflix. So on Sunday night, think about this all day long. Sunday night, we decided to watch a little TV to wind down from a very long and exhausting day. And so Pastor Diana asked me what I wanted to watch, and I said, well, I don't really have a preference. What do you want to see? Which I always say. She said, do you want to watch drama or fantasy or comedy? And I said, why don't we watch a comedy? I'd like to laugh. And she said, well, my father-in-law says there's a comedy. I haven't seen it yet, but he says there's a comedy that he really likes called Santa Clarita Diet. It stars Drew Barrymore. Well, now, whenever I think of Drew Barrymore, that's what I see, you know, from E.T. I mean, this is the image that always comes to mind. And I thought, Drew Barrymore, that is so sweet. That sounds like a great idea. Now, David knows what I'm talking about because he's laughing. Okay. Well, let me tell you what Santa Clarita Diet is about. I soon learned that the show, in addition to being a comedy, is in the horror genre, okay? So it's a very dark comedy. Turns out it's about a woman, Drew Barrymore, who becomes a zombie, meaning that she's really not alive and that she eats human flesh. Okay, so the first episode, which includes Nathan Fillion, who was one of my favorite characters of all time. He played Castle, for those of you who remember the Castle series. Okay, so the first episode has this horrific scene. I'm not going to get into it, but horrific scene of human consumption that all I can say is going to take a while for me to expunge from my memory. Okay? I say that because on Monday morning, during my morning devotional time and practice of centering prayer, which is about 20 minutes of silence, just being with God, experiencing God's presence, I could not be focused on God because that image of that gruesome scene kept playing over and over again in my mind. And guess what happened? Instead of getting peaceful and getting restful with God, my heart rate went up and my mind was filled with dread. And I was more than anything frustrated because I was fixated on this silly show. Now, no offense to anyone who enjoys comedy, horror kind of movies and TV shows, but I made up my mind that I will never, ever, ever again watch Santa Clarita Diet, right? But it begs the question, if you spent 20 minutes with God in silence today, what would compete for your attention? It might be a silly TV show, or it could be something else that's weighing heavily on your mind and your heart. Because there's all kinds of things that vie for our heart out there, right? There's a lot that tries to steal our peace. And so as we reflect about peace today, let's center ourselves on God. Will you pray with me? Oh, loving and gracious God, we come to you as we are. And there may be things that are weighing heavily on our heart today. But I pray that during this time of message, as we reflect on Scripture, that the words of my mouth and the meditations that come from deep within us that speak the truth of your love for us might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight as we seek your peace, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, and it is a part of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, the one sermon that is recorded in the Gospels is being preached by Jesus. And in this sermon, Jesus talks about all kinds of things. I mean, if he had taken a class on preaching, he probably wouldn't have gotten a very good score on it because he just talks about all kinds of things. For example, like what it means to be blessed in our lives, what it means to be a witness, to be salt and light in a world that needs God so much. It means dealing with personal stuff like anger and lust and brokenness in relationships, about being judgmental, and about how to pray for and other spiritual practices that will help us to grow in our faith and relationship with God. Jesus also talks about the relationship with money in there, and not to worry about it so much, the worry that is associated with not having enough. Our sermon series has been entitled Financial Peace, and although it has been a part of our annual stewardship emphasis this year, the real reason that we've been focusing on this subject isn't about the church's need for our money, even though the church mission and ministry is certainly supported through our giving. There's no doubt about that. But the real reason that we have been on this journey for these several weeks, especially, is because in our culture, people are stressed out and they are worn out because of their relationship with money. We live in a culture where money is God, and as Jesus says, we can't have that. He said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. We can't be whole in our lives, Jesus says, if we are torn up worrying about money. And so we talk about our relationship with money for a few weeks to help remind us of that, but also in order to offer some tools for you and me so that we can realign our lives more closely with God rather than money and the stuff money can buy. And so this morning, I want to wrap up this series by sharing with you some insights that I hope will bring you to a place where you will worry less and experience God's peace, not just as it relates to finances, but as to our whole lives as well. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, don't worry, God will provide. Well, that's really nice. But easier said than done, right? I mean, yes, God does clothe the flowers of the field and all of that jazz. It's true. But how does that really get translated into your life and mine? When I was in my first semester of seminary, I decided to take the class on preaching, not because I wanted to learn anything about preaching, because I was certain at that time that I would never be a preacher. So go figure that. Anyway, we were supposed to preach two sermons for the class. And, I was really nervous about the first one, but it went extremely well, unexpectedly well. And so by the time I was preaching the second one, I had a little more self-confidence. And I thought, well, I think I'm going to be a little more creative with this sermon. And so, this was before projectors and screens were used regularly in worship. And so I wanted to use a visual to get my point across. And I was talking about God clothing the flowers of the field. We were using this scripture for today. And it happened to be bluebonnet season in Texas. I don't know if you've ever been to Texas in bluebonnet season, but it's absolutely beautiful. Bluebonnets everywhere as far as the eye can see. And so I went out and picked a bouquet, and I placed them in this little crystal vase. And I put it on the pulpit, set it right on the pulpit. And when the time came, I began to recite Jesus's words. As I did, I picked up the vase, and here's what happened. picked up the vase, and I said, just as God closed the flowers of the field, God will take care of you. And the flowers are falling everywhere off of the pulpit. And the professor literally fell out of his chair laughing. Later during the evaluation of the sermon, my professor said, Susan, you are an awesome preacher, but please make sure never to do that again, because your body is going to tell on you every time. And my body does tell on me. At times, I shake when I get nervous. At times, my ears turn red. At times, I even might get a little rash that erupts around my neck. And I'm not going to tell you what else happens, because I really don't want you to know when I'm nervous. But worry has a way of revealing itself, right? It can manifest itself externally. But worry can also do its destructive interior work as well. Anxiety, we know, is the root often to physical illness, mental illness, and depression, and it creates discord in our relationships with one another. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't do that. Worry does nothing productive in your life or in mine. So what do? How can we move from worry to peace? Whether that has to do with our finances or our relationships or even within ourselves. This morning I want to offer us 5 steps that I believe will lead us to the peace that God wants for our lives, that God wants to give us. 5 steps that can lead us to a peace beyond human understanding if we are willing to take those steps for ourselves. And to help us to remember them, I have created an acronym out of the word peace. So if you want to jot down some notes here, that's fine, so you can remember them as well. So we begin with P. And P stands for pray. Put God first. That's a no-brainer, right? And you know, I mean that quite literally, though. Put God first. Before anything else you do in the day, begin it with prayer and with God. First thing. Get up a few minutes earlier if you need to, but begin your day in prayer. Don't turn on your television. Don't open your newspaper. Don't look at the breaking news that's on your phone.